Good morning. It's good for us to be here together this morning, to have this opportunity to worship God in spirit and truth, that we might edify each other, strengthen and encourage each other in our faith. I want us to think about faith and gratitude this morning. Faith in Christ is what gives everything else its power. It's what gives baptism its power, otherwise you're just getting wet. Because we trust in Christ, we trust in what He told us that we had to do to be saved. It's what gives baptism the power it gives it. It's what separates self-righteousness from the righteousness of God. It's what steadies us during the storms of life. This trust that we have in God, His Son, and the cleansing power of His blood, and His Word, trust in our eternal destination, is what must carry us. Now, as many of you all know, families had a very difficult week this week, especially Marilyn, with Doyle being as sick as he's been over the last few weeks. And we know that he finally died this week. But one of the things as we were up speaking with her that really struck me this week as I was thinking about what to talk about this week was that she had told Doyle, as sick as he was, that he was the most blessed man in the world. And all I heard the whole time we were up there is how thankful she was. Now, people that are in the world that are not part of the church cannot say that. And it's an impressive thing to me when I hear that said, when things are really hard and people are able to say it. We talk about these things all the time. But to see it in action is really very impressive. We look at him from a physical standpoint. If we looked at him that way, we would all say he was unfortunate. But from God's perspective, he was very fortunate because we know that he put his trust in God, that he repented, he was baptized because he trusted in God. And because of that, we know that God is not ashamed to be called Doyle's God. If you look at Hebrews 11 and verse 16, that's what he says there. That he's prepared a city for him. Now the question is, as we get ready to look at some scriptures, is do we have that kind of faith that we can always be thankful, that we can always have gratitude in our hearts towards God? Despite anything else that may happen, this is the question we each need to ask ourselves. And this is the great question of life for each one of us, is whether when things really get hard, when the storms of life come, are we going to fold? And if we do, it's because we lack the faith that we should have. Or are we going to be able to withstand these storms and at the end of these things, have gratitude in our hearts towards God because we know that no matter what else happens, that He is going to take care of us, that He does care for us. If you look into Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Do we have that? That's the question. If you look in chapter 13, the same book, read verses 5 through 6. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we are confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Now you could say, free from the love of money, free from any kind of worldly thing that we're talking about here, whether it's job status, whether it's sickness, whether it's anything that we can point to. At the end of this, we should be able to confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? That's the kind of trust that we have to have. We look in Romans chapter 15. Verse 13. It says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, what the faith allows us to have is hope. If all we have is what we can see around us, then the problem is we're all going to die at some point. We're all going to have misfortune at some point. But those that have faith in God can see past all that and know that there's something waiting for us in heaven. That's the key for us all. We see this type of hope exemplified if you look in chapter 8 of Romans. Marie. Three verses out of this chapter. Verse 18, he says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for our good. Whether we understand it or not, we're able to look to God and know that he cares about us and that he's concerned about us. He's concerned about our eternal destination. We need to be more concerned about that ourselves, thinking about what's going to happen past here. That is what's going to sustain us. Verse 38. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you believe that? That's the question. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's start in verse 13. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary, a light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We're looking ahead if we have the proper faith. If you look in chapter 5, verses 7 through 8. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. This is why Joel was the most blessed man in the world. 2 Timothy. Chapter 1. Verse 12. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. For I know to whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Ask yourself with each verse that we read, do these verses apply to you? And if they don't, then that's something that needs to be fixed. Our faith is in Christ as well. If we'd look, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Verses 24 and 25. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Mark chapter 16. Verses 15 and 16. And Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Jesus tells us what we have to do. John chapter 1, verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Chapter 5, verse 24. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life." And after chapter 6 and verse 29. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. Verse 4. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." And lastly, Philippians chapter 4, before we go to the next topic of this. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." It means we can tolerate anything that may come upon us. Like he mentions, the house that's built on the rock, if we have the proper faith in Christ, we can withstand anything that comes our way. Whether it's sickness, whether it's death, whether it's injustice, whatever it is that we're faced with, we can overcome these things. Now, how does this engender gratitude on our part? And I think it's fairly self-explanatory, but let's look at Romans chapter 7, and we'll look to what the Scriptures have to say about this. Chapter 7, I'm going to start in verse 23, and actually I'll go through the first two verses of the next chapter. "But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death." This is why we should have gratitude in our hearts towards God, because he has set us free from the condemnation that we had coming, if we have faith in him. And when I say faith, it's not just a matter of believing in him, but it's trusting in what God has said, what Jesus has commanded us to do, and done it. That's what a living faith is. Death believes, the devil believes in God, but we know that he has a dead faith because he refused to subject himself to God. But a living faith subjects itself to God. And lastly, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 50. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will put on the immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Do we believe, do we have gratitude in our heart, How do we react to the difficulties in life? All of us have daily, at least irritations, if nothing else, that we all have to go through. How do we react to those things? And I think that's a good measure as to where our faith is at. Do we look at the news? Do we look at the things that we see in life and say, "Gosh, this is all hopeless"? If all we're concerned about is this world, it is hopeless. But for us, it's not hopeless. If we walk by faith rather than by sight, if we have this faith, we'll have gratitude in our hearts. And if we walk by sight, we won't. We'll be depressed, we'll be bitter. Because this world, if this is all we have and this is this world, then we got reason to be sorry. But God has promised us more than that. Now, I hear people say all the time, "Well, you know, I don't think it's fair. It's a harsh, ugly thing to say that if I don't trust in Jesus Christ, if I don't do what He says, that I'm gonna go to hell." That's a harsh, bigoted thing to say. It's no different though. It's no different if we look at it in natural terms. If the person says, "Well, I just don't believe I should have to eat to be nourished." Well, you can go out, you can exercise, you can be in the perfect climate, you can manage your stress, but if you don't eat, you'll surely die. And cruel or not, that's just how it works. And in the same way, the only way that we can have our sins forgiven is through the blood of Christ. We can try to invent other ways, we can try to do everything else, and if we don't do that, we're gonna perish. It's just like a person that needs food to live. A person certainly needs Christ to live eternally. If there's any here this morning that has a need, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, confess it today, repent and be baptized, because that's what Jesus told you to do to be saved. If you need the prayers of the congregation, please feel free to come forward as we stand and sing.